keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And it is just beautiful this morning. Blue sky and pretty and stuff here in Nashville. I'm feeling just like fall. It is going to be today a classic fall day in the low 60s. I do hope that you all get out and get a chance to enjoy some of this beautiful day that we're going to be experiencing. Now, this hour, and by the way, time check, it is, what time is it? Actually, do a time check.
8:04.
Okay. All right. So if you didn't set the clock at all, then you're confused. But we're going to unconfuse you right now. This hour, new book, new guest, Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. And I'm going to introduce, and hopefully I say, is it Trillia?
You got it. Trillia, yes.
Trillia. Trillia. This is Sharon Kay. Yeah, I know. I saw the double L's. I was like, oh, la. Trillia J. Newbell. How are you this morning?
I am doing very well. Thank you.
Well, you know, I was like, I didn't see this until towards the end of the week that you live here, right?
I do. I live in the area.
Well, you know what? Next time we have to have you come down, okay?
I would love that.
Okay, yeah, cool. Because I'm like, you're local, you better get in here. And, you know, because we are, the station is based in Nashville, but our listenership is global. But if you live here, you know, come on, seriously. But anyway, how long? Are you a native?
I am a native to Knoxville, so I have lived here now 6 years, I believe, and yes, so we moved from Knoxville, Tennessee, and my husband is from West Tennessee, but I am a native East Tennessee,
okay.
But we now call this home.
East meets West and meets in the middle, huh?
Yes.
All right, that's good. So as a native Tennessean, this is a beautiful, don't you agree, this is a beautiful fall morning we have here in our region?
Absolutely. It's so beautiful. I am not a fan of cold, and I was kind of hoping we'd have a warm winter, but it is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Just to look out the window. I mean, don't go in it. Now, Trillia, you are, it says, you are Director of Community Outreach for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. So is that downtown Nashville?
Yes. Okay, so we have two offices. We have one downtown Nashville, and we have one in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
And I'm mostly just about 100% local here, and I am part-time. I help build resources and think of different resources and also I speak mm-hmm. at our events. So think of different resources that can equip and encourage the church.
Okay. So that, hence why you're an author, right?
Well, I was an author before the ERLC, so
oh, okay.
I started, gosh, I don't remember. I don't remember when, but I wrote freelance for the Knoxville News Sentinel,
mm-hmm.
so a freelance journalist doing feature mm-hmm. stories probably in 2007, and then I wrote for our college paper when I went to the University of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So I've always had my hands in writing,
okay.
But it wasn't until recent, probably the last 8 years, that mm-hmm. I started writing books.
Okay. This is, and you know, one of the reasons why, among several, that I wanted to have you on is myself personally, I have had, and I'm going to take a picture of this so I can send it to you. A little scrap of paper that was like a small sticky note that I hand wrote some years ago that I had taped to my computer at home. So when I got this, the university brought me here and I started working here, I brought my little tape piece of paper with my scripture on it that is about endurance. Mm-hmm. And endurance to the end. I was giving myself the, you know, pointers, like it don't get weak, but endurance to the end, it says, and if God wills it. And then you write a book called Sacred Endurance. I'm like, girl, you know you're going to be on my show. Come on now. I'm like, what? That's my word. That's my stuff. What are you doing, girl? So when your stuff came out, I'm like, now she done went all up in my secret garden. And like, you know, so, literally, I mean, for real, you just do not know. People have different reasons for doing interviews. I mean, that's probably the most crazy. But
no, it's encouraging.
Well, because this topic is crucial to Christian journeys. And what inspired you to write on endurance?
The same reason you put that sticky note, because we need reminders. Mm-hmm. To endure. I am in the middle of my race, so I am not writing from the perspective of someone who has finished, who has endured, but someone who is enduring. And all around me, people are leaving the faith or just having hard time and not sure where to turn. And I thought, okay, this is something that we are all struggling with. We all need this reminder, and God's word gives us anchors for running this race. And so that's why I just wanted the reminder for my own heart and my friends and those who might read beyond my little small circle, and wanted to encourage us to keep running this race, and that we have Jesus who will sustain us till the end.
Yeah. And you know, we need that reminder all the time. And I guess that's what you hope that your book does, right?
Yeah, we need a reminder, but we also need the truth, and the truth doesn't change, thankfully, as we do. We change, but God never changes. And so we need a reminder that we have a God who is with us and for us, who will help sustain us till the end. So, we need those reminders. We're leaky vessels. That's what we forget. We forget. We get weak. We get tired. And really hard circumstances happen to us, divorce, illness, you name it. These things happen. Mm-hmm. And so we need a reminder of why do we keep going? Why do we keep running? Why do we keep clinging?
Yeah.
And that's what I hope this book does.
Well, and I think that the examples that you give as you start in the first chapter are certainly times that people can reflect on and get the picture loud and clear. In chapter one, Called to a Race, you start with Mahalia Jackson and August 28th of 1963. Please share with us what you're talking about.
Yes. Okay, so she was, first of all, she endured trials upon trials, and she got involved in the civil rights movement. She's a gospel singer, which I know you know because I saw her on your website. And so for those who may not know, on who are listening, she was a gospel singer and reportedly even helped Dr. King with the I Have a Dream speech. She reportedly called out to him, tell him about the dream, and that's when he said, I have a dream, and continued. But historically, she was devoted to living out the gospel and seeing God's praises, and endured threats, and as she became more popular in Chicago, which sometimes people think that the racism that we experience is only in the South. It's not true. I think we know that now more, but often it's kind of the characteristic that we think of. But but it's so widespread, and so she was experiencing it in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I quote one of the songs that she sang that day during the March of Washington, mm-hmm. called How I Got Over. And mm-hmm. I believe the quote, yes, is, "And I want to thank him for how long he brought mm-hmm. me. Oh, thank my God how he kept me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to thank him because he never left me." And that, to me, is essential in endurance. Yeah. So many of the people before us mm-hmm. who really struggled, suffered, experienced a need for endurance, sing these songs mm-hmm. to the Lord.
Yeah.
And thank him because they know he mm-hmm. he kept them.
Yeah.
So that is why I highlighted her story.
Well, and that's important to bring to people's attention, because her hymns and her music sustained people. It fortified them, and that's at a time when there was much struggle. So mm-hmm. Thank you for honoring her in your book in chapter one, because that's, you know, and it seemed insignificant, her role, but actually it was quite significant. And her legacy musically, you know, we enjoy now to this day.
Yes, amen to that. And I'm glad you said it seemed insignificant, because I actually just got back from Rwanda, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I noticed is how the women in a certain village that I went into, they were, everything that they did, they would give glory to the Lord and mm-hmm. proclaim how God is sustaining us, and it would be peeling potatoes or getting mm-hmm. water from a spring, mm-hmm. and they would just continually say, say things that they're proud of the work that they get to do mm-hmm. in complete and total obscurity with little significance, but they are investing in the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I just think that their endurance will speak volumes to generations upon generations of Rwandans. Mm-hmm. And that's the same for Jackson. Mm-hmm. We don't know all that she went through, but mm-hmm. I am confident that her continued endurance and walk in the faith mm-hmm. touched the lives of people after people, and now we're talking about her.
Yeah.
And so what we do does seem so insignificant, but as God sustains us, it could have effect on the generations.
Yeah,
upon generations.
Well, and you know, the old Negro spirituals, and you know, the songs like in the old hymn books, you know, for today's churches, they don't want to use them and don't want to sing them and all that. I'm like, look, them the building blocks, Jack. You simply must put that in there to keep people strengthened up. You know, because those songs, that's what, when the tide is up and the boat is not floating straight, that's the things, the songs, you know, that you remember and you sing in your head to keep you from going overboard.
I agree. And so I am a fan of old hymns, uh-huh. all of them. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I just love hymns. And I do think there's something rich and deep and raw about them, and I think it's because they endured.
Yeah, absolutely. And those words truly mean what they mean. Now, so I can tell you grew up in somebody's church somewhere.
It's interesting. I actually didn't.
Really?
I became a Christian when I was 22.
You're kidding.
But no, it's neat how the Lord has just transformed me.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it was radical. But I did grow up with a mother who did.
Okay.
who loved Jesus. And so I grew up in a two-parent home, and my dad and my mom loved people, but I wouldn't have said it was a Christian home. But I was exposed to a lot of our history.
Okay.
And so, yes. And so I'm grateful for that. But it wasn't until I was 22 when the Lord really broke through and I became a Christian.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember the day.
What was going on with you then?
I had just had a broken engagement, and was humbled and maybe even somewhat embarrassed by just, yeah. And I was, I remember being tired of this life that I felt like mm-hmm. was driven by self. Mm-hmm. And I went to a church and heard the song Rock of Ages, mm-hmm. And there's a lyric that says, "Wash me, Savior, or I'll die." Mm-hmm. And I remember at that moment, the Lord calling me to himself, and I knew there was nowhere else. I needed Jesus. And so I prayed, and then after church, I talked to three different people and told them, "Hey, I want to know Jesus." And they prayed with me, and my life was literally transformed.
Oh, my goodness.
It was transformed, and I was a different person, different goals. It was really interesting to see how the Lord just transformed me. But it was, I was just going a different way, uh-huh. and didn't really. I thought Christians were a little scary, didn't want to have much to do with them, uh-huh. and I didn't want to have anything. uh-huh. And the Lord changed changed my heart and my worldview.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me that there's different levels of Christendom out here. And because I understand the fear because you see behavior and things. But at the same time, I also say everyone is falling short, no matter if you're a Christian or not. And the judgmental must end. It really must. I mean, because everyone is falling short. I mean, who isn't? And that person has yet to step up. I've offered a free interview to them, but that perfect person hasn't called me yet. I've been asking on the air for almost 20 years, and I haven't gotten a single call. That's because there's nobody out there that is.
Exactly.
But I think a lot of the stuff is for that people are struggling with that may even be on the runway trying to have a relationship with the Lord. Is the judgmentalness and not being honest that, you know, they have to change some things.
Yeah. Yeah. The race is hard, and I do believe God knows all things, so we don't have to hide. We don't have to pretend.
Yeah. And when you know what, when you think about that, Trillia, that thought right there, that if you just get down to the core of that, if that doesn't straighten you out, I don't know what should. You know, you cannot get away with nothing. You might have fooled your mom and dad or your granny or the neighbors, but you can't fool the Lord. And that's the part that one of the reasons why I love him. I do. I love the Father. I'm unorthodox Christian. I'm not all sanctified and holy and dipped in whatever. I'm just different. I love Jesus, and ain't nothing nobody can do about that.
Yeah.
So, I told the people that know me well, you know, I'm uncomfortable in certain situations because you start not feeling worthy because of this Christian dome piece, because of, you know, you have to be in this level of perfection. So endurance is very much a part of relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he shows you how to make it through regardless. Now, when we come back from the break, chapter 2 and 3 are where, do you have your book there?
I do.
Okay. Chapter 2 and 3 is where I want to go. And,
okay.
So when we come back from the break, I want you to share with the audience what those two chapters are about as it relates to the topic and the title, Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for Lasting Faith. And we are talking this morning with Trillia J. Newbell. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This Movember, here's to the straggly mustaches, the lopsided ones, the oddly sexy ones, the itchy, patchy, raggedy ones, the peach fuzz ones, the hey, I look good with this ones, the scruffy ones, the black, blonde, red, and gray ones, the ones grown by Dad, the ones grown for Dad. They all raise awareness, raise funds, start conversations, and save lives. Because whatever you grow, will save a bro. Learn more at Movember.com.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. You should be at the center of your own health care, and we are here to help you. Call the Nashville Healthcare Center today and make an appointment with one of our primary care providers, 615-341-4488, or visit us on the web at NashvilleHealthcareCenter.com. Support for WFSK comes from Born Again Church. Ladies, discover your divine rhythm, fashioned in His image, presents A Woman's Heart, The Awakening Women's Gathering, Wednesday, November 6th through Sunday, November 10th. Awaken to a week that will include a creative workshop experience and conversations on matters of the heart. Learn who you are, how to connect with other women, sister to sister, living in freedom, and the importance of self-care. Registration is $50. Fashioned in His image, A Woman's Heart, The Awakening Gathering at Born Again Church, November 6th through the 10th. Register now at fihi.net or eventbrite.com. That's fihi.net or eventbrite.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, and being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. This morning, it's on a new book, new guest on the show. The book is Sacred Endurance, Finding Grace and Strength for a Lasting Faith. Trillia J. Newbell is the guest this morning, author. And Trillia is, she's a conference speaker, writer, and works at the Southern Baptist Convention here in the city. And tell us, before we go back into your current book, about a couple of these other ones that you've written, Trillia.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, by the way.
You're welcome.
It's a joy to speak with you. I've been really grateful to have written several books, but I wrote a kid's book called God's Very Good Idea, which... Yes, it's been so fun. So parents will send pictures or post pictures online of their kids reading and learning from this book. But it's a book about the beauty of diversity in the church and the gospel. And so I've written that. And then I wrote a Bible study on Romans 8 called If God Is For Us. And that is real specific on Romans 8. And it takes 6 weeks. Takes the readers or group of readers through the scriptures for 6 weeks, And it can be extended, but it's something that I've just enjoyed. I enjoyed writing. And then I've written books on fear called Fear and Faith and enjoying God's good gifts. Mm-hmm. And then United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. So it's a little bit of a theology of race mm-hmm. and a picture of a little bit of my testimony and how God used some friends to help encourage my faith and endurance, but it's not about endurance.
Yeah.
And so those are just a few of the books that I've gotten to write and I'm grateful for.
Well, and it seems to me, I'm making an observation, I know you not, that you used your mainstream skills as a newspaper reporter to God's glory.
Well, that's encouraging. And I would hope to say that that is true. That is one of the ways that God has gifted me is through communication. And so I am just grateful that I have been able to use that gift that he's given me for the body, for the church, It is something that couldn't have anticipated, something that I don't ever want to stop doing.
Yeah. So, you know, really after when you told your story, I was like, man, her life really started opening up after that. You know, you just taking this different step, author of all these books, and, you know, you could have slogged away at the computer at the newspaper and, you know, been ready to pull your hair out because they're thinning people out in the newsrooms. But the Lord has something better in store for you. And all you had to do was say yes. That's beautiful. It really is.
Well, that's encouraging. Yeah, that is encouraging. And it is, that is about how it happened. I took a step of faith the Lord just continually opened doors it has been, it's been a real encouraging journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think you probably got about 6 or 7 more books in you.
Oh, well, thank you. I pray that happens because I do not want to stop. I really believe that God does have me doing this for a purpose and that's until he says no more. But as of right now, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, you go through stuff and you get 20, 30 years in, and you say, God, am I sure? Do I need a sign, Lord? Am I doing the right thing? If you ain't figured it out yet, you know, I'm just saying you have all these books you've written and you're not that old. You know, you're not like an old lady trying to write a book at 96. You know, and these are all honoring God in a beautiful way. This is a very well-written, lovely book that you have written.
That's encouraging. Thank you. That builds my faith to keep going. Yeah. And it's been something that over the last couple of weeks, the Lord has just been kind to continue to remind me that it's his work and I get to participate in it. And I want to keep going if he will allow so. To be so. And so thank you for that.
Well, I'm an encouraging person. This is an encouragement. this show is an empowerment and encouragement broadcast. So I'm staying within what I created.
well done.
What the creator created for me to do. So I'm staying in my zone and I do what I'm doing. Because after interviewing, in today's media realm, you know, you just don't sit around talking about God on regular radio. You understand what I'm saying? You'd have to be a Christian broadcaster or something of that nature. So, for us here to be able to have these discussions and dialogues and not have a slant toward anything except, you know, we've given God the glory and that's all it is, and tell the truth. So, I know it's a little bit different, probably from some of the places you've interviewed with. At least that's what the bulk of the faith-based authors tell me.
They say that your radio show is a little different?
They say that my questions are different because, I don't really have an agenda. I'm not trying to debate and fight about things religious. And oh. I know. I'm just like, I think people can learn. They can understand how good God is. Now, Jesus and the cloud of witnesses. And, of course, you go straight to my favorite Hebrews verse and chapters. Talk about that one, please.
Yes, absolutely. If your favorite is Hebrews 12, 1 through, let's see, what would it be? 1 through 2, yeah, yes. Then yes, I am talking about the cloud of witnesses, which a lot of people know this verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely to us and run with endurance the race set before us. And Jesus is the founder, perfecter of that race. And I love these verses too. If you study Hebrews 11 or all of Hebrews, but Hebrews, if you study Hebrews 1 through 12, you will be so encouraged in your faith. Jesus is better.
Yeah.
He has fulfilled the law. He has given us all we need. And the writer of Hebrews and inspired by God was really gracious to give us a list of people, these cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 11 and all these different faithful saints who've gone before us. And I love this list. If you ever have gotten a chance to look at the list and read about each individual, you'll see that they are not even close to perfect people. There's people from Rahab, the prostitute, to David, who did all manner of wrong things, from murder to a rampant of things, lots of things. And then to Abraham and Sarah. And so as we look to them, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside. So we have to lay aside the weight and the heavy things, the sin, the baggage, the fear, whatever it is, lay it aside so that we can run this race of endurance.
Yeah.
Setting our eyes on Jesus, that's the only way we're going to endure. If we set our eyes, like any time you've looked at yourself to try to run something, it's pretty discouraging. But when we turn our eyes and look, or if we look to our society to try to run our race or our culture, we're going to fall flat on our face. But if we look to Jesus, who endured the shame, endured pain, endured every trial, tempted in every way, but without sin, then we can run. And so, and the cloud of witnesses, to me, gives this beautiful picture of a cheering squad. Like, we're not doing it alone. We've got people who've gone before us, who finished their race, who didn't even see the fulfillment of all that we've experienced, and who are all like us, waiting for that ultimate promise. Then we can run. So this chapter is all about being encouraged by the faithful who've gone before us.
Definitely. And I really do like that one in your book, as well as you in chapter 3. It seems as though you're kind of telling a little bit of the story that when I asked you at the very beginning about when you began your Christian journey, what you talk about here is when you started becoming a Christian and getting serious about it. What was going on?
Well, at first I was just excited about Jesus. I didn't care about anything. But then all of a sudden I started to think, oh, well, what does that mean I need to do? And so my instinct was, okay, in order for me to be a good Christian or glorify God, I have to get rid of stuff. Like, so I got rid of all my CDs. And I was trying to strip myself from all things worldly or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, Lord.
And I realized, yeah, I realized I wasn't, I felt like I needed to earn God's favor. And which God says that it's only by grace that we are saved.
Yes.
We, not by works. So we can't earn his favor. And so I realized I started to run with the wrong motivation.
Right.
I was started running my race early on to earn God's favor rather than understanding that I already had his favor.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, so we call that legalism.
Yeah.
When you are trying to earn God's favor.
Yes.
And work hard for your salvation rather than resting and trusting.
Yeah.
In the Lord. Now, what, unfortunately, as Christians, we're pendulum swingers.
Yes,
so,
Lord.
Yes. So we will go to one, from one extreme to the other extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't want to do, like Paul talks about, we don't want to keep on sinning so that grace may increase. In other words, we don't want to then say, well, then I can do anything because I have God's favor, and then not do anything that's worthy of the gospel, because
right.
God does tell us to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel.
Yeah.
Definitely. So we have to be, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say definitely. And, you know, I kind of laughed about throwing the CDs away. I'm like, oh, God, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah, it was silly. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. That's funny.
And I missed some of those CDs.
I know. I was about to say, oh, my goodness. Because, you know, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to the break, Trillia. For a lot of people, you know, I'm in this music business. I'm in this, you know. For those that say secular realm in the church speak, and you know, a lot of times over the years people have said to folks that, you know, love Jesus and work in doing this kind of stuff, that, you know, we're doing something wrong, or, you know, having a judgment call on, you know, if you're a DJ or whatever. Well, I program the station because I'm the general manager. So
yeah.
I put my hands on the music all the time.
Yeah.
And I love the Lord. So I, you know, it's so funny because I laughed. I was like, man, I hope people don't think that they got to throw stuff away and, you know.
No, not at all.
Change everything. I mean, stuff will change with time, but that, I, when you wrote that in here, I was like, girl, Lord, bless your heart, baby. When I was like, oh, because there's probably a bunch of other people who've done the same thing. I was like, oh my goodness.
That's funny.
You gotta clean up what you messed up.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
Oh, that's funny. Anyway, when we come back from the break, in chapter 4, you talk about the dangers of the prosperity gospel. And I want to pull that portion out in your book, as well as we're going to move through some of the other important chapters, and particularly about endurance of the mind. Because we know it's a terrible thing to waste. But we'll see what you have to say about it. Today's book, Sacred Endurance. Trillia Newbell is my guest. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent
agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
You've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. You have to carefully monitor your health for the rest of your life. And you have an increased risk of developing cardiovascular disease.
Cut. Take two. Action.
You've been diagnosed with a new purpose, to fight for the amazing life you made for yourself. To look that risk of heart disease square in the face and say, no, not me. You've been given a new opportunity to live. Get started at nodiabetesbyheart.org.
Support for WFSK comes from Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. You should be at the center of your own healthcare, and we are here to help you. Call the Nashville Healthcare Center today and make an appointment with one of our primary care providers, 615-341-4488, or visit us on the web at NashvilleHealthcareCenter.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And we are talking about endurance this morning. And if you are listening on your way to service or wherever you're going to Bible study, Sunday school, church academy, whatever you call it, or on your way to work, and we hope that you're hearing something that might encourage you to endure through whatever trial or tribulation you may be going through. And as always, if I have a question or comment from the audience and you want to speak to the guests, you're welcome to do that at 615-329-8810. Trilia Newbell is with me this morning. She's a Christian author and works in the Christian realm. And Trillia, before the break, I asked you if we could go into chapter 4, The Real Christian Life, into, in particular, when on page 39, you discussed the dangers of the prosperity gospel.
Yes, I sometimes wonder if we fall for a lie that our lives will be perfect if we follow Jesus. And I'll call it the blessed life syndrome. We see blessed all the time, hashtag, you know. And the prosperity gospel tells us that if we do certain things or whatnot, we will have health and wealth.
Yeah.
So if we give or whatever it is,
right.
And then sometimes we'll have a superstitious faith, fearful of what God might do, but I really think that the problem with the prosperity gospel, besides the fact that it's just not true, is that the scriptures never promise us that. Actually, God warns us over and over again, you're going to have trials and tribulation.
Yeah.
What does Jesus say? You're going to have trials and tribulation in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus tells us. So we are being sold a lie if we think that if we give or if we obey in a certain way, we are going to have a perfect life, or we're going to have wealth, or we're going to have health. Say, I mean, I've watched my father die of huge cancer, and and the result of diabetes, and my sister pass away, and so I just think, and I have had my own health issues, but I love Jesus. So yes, and so there is no. What a terrible, painful, false assumption and lie to tell people.
Yeah.
Because you can't endure with that.
Right.
But you can endure with when God says that, Romans 8, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed.
Mm-mm.
Now that can keep us. Like, okay, we are going to suffer, but it doesn't compare to what we are going to experience one day. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrows, no more suffering. So the real gospel tells us that Jesus died bearing all of that. One day he's going to come and reconcile it all.
Yeah.
But that's the real gospel. And so I guess you can tell I passionately want people to know the real good news so that they can suffer well.
Amen.
And so that they can endure well.
Yeah, definitely. And come out not looking like they've been through the storm and rain. You know, you don't have to look like I'm underneath the tent, underneath the homeless man, my hair tore up, I haven't bathed in 66 months. You know, we can carry it much, much better than that. X, I know you had a chime in on a comment.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I was thinking the same thing. And, you know, when we look at the status of the world and how things are taking place and just, you know, the suffering, and we think about, it didn't have to be anything political, but when you see the suffering that goes on in other countries, people who don't have and poverty and things of that nature, it just makes it gives you a certain comfort to know that life itself is not meaningless, that at the end of the day, that there is something and someone that's going to come and set everything straight. Mm-hmm. And that's just an awesome feeling. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm glad you bring up other nations and worlds. And if our gospel means that we get wealth, then it is not good news for everyone.
No, it wasn't.
It's only good news for the rich.
Right.
And so we have a better gospel, a better word that says that he's for the orphan.
Yeah.
He's for the widow. He loves the poor. And so we have a gospel that says that Jesus died for every tribe, tongue, and nation, anyone who would believe.
Right.
And so this is a good news for the world.
Yeah, definitely.
And so we don't want to minimize it.
Yeah.
Or it's just a lie. It's not even minimizing. We don't want to tell a lie about what God has done.
No.
We want to tell the whole truth.
That's right.
And and then that way, one, people hear the good news, and two, it is worth enduring. It's worth it to know that one day we will all be worshiping together and everything will be made new.
Mm-hmm.
He is coming to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, to know that, you know, some of what you said, I thought about one of the ways I learned how to deal when my mama passed in 15 and how to deal with that so I wouldn't be destroyed like I was mentally and emotionally when my father had passed in 89. I was toe up for a long time. And I'm like, I can't do that to myself. I can't. Because I know how emotionally it was more than I could take. Because when you lose a parent, you know, that's rough. And but I had to tell myself, really, and remind myself of something that you just said, is that, you know, no more pain. That person is, I don't have to worry about nobody breaking in her house. I don't have to worry about her being sick, falling down, not being able to, you know, because my mama had diabetes and lost one of her eyes, you know, and not trying to drive her car with one eye. And I mean, you know, I don't have to worry about that. So God took that. He took her, but he took all that from me. And the stress, you know, because I'm not from here. My mom was 600 miles away. So that's even compound the stress. So, and I had to look at death differently. And through that, I was able to work through the pain of it and the loss of the loved one. And just in that thought and knowing and scripturally speaking and reading and reviewing that, nobody live forever. So I'm like, and once you get that, life becomes more sweet, or it should, because you're going home to Jesus too.
Yes. Yes, we all are.
Absolutely.
Yeah. just this is a silly, something silly and kind of dumb that I said to my kids. I told them the other day, I was like, kids, statistically speaking, I have lived half my life. I want to live the second half really well. Of course, when you're talking to your kids, that's not encouraged. They were like, what? What?
Right.
But the reality is that is true. And yeah. So how are we going to walk out our faith and yeah. live out our lives?
Yeah.
Because it all comes to an end. Every single one of us will one day face yeah. Jesus.
Well,
and
Trillia, yeah. Can I say as a parent, I wish my parents would have said something like that to me, because I think I would have felt different when they started passing away. Okay. Because I didn't think of them. I thought of them in my mind always as dinosaurs, that they gonna just be here. And you know, but, cause my kids are grown, but I tell them and my grandkids, everybody's going home to Jesus. So, you know, we're not going to live forever. And neither are you or your kids or your great grandkids. So, you know, let's treat each other the best that we can while we have each other and value this time. I want them to know that, so that they won't waste their whole life, get toward the end and say, man, I wish I'd have knew that or thought about that. No, you need to think about it now. And it just makes people feel, you know, I think my family and dear, they, you know, I'm more dear to them probably than ever before, because I hadn't thought about it, like, oh, what's going to be like if mama ain't here? That's right. So treat mama good. That can work to your advantage, girl.
There you go.
Oh, Lord. Anyway, now, see, you didn't know I was going to do as much talking as I was going to ask questions, did you?
Oh, it's a joy. I love listening to you.
And let me go to chapter 9, which is 124, Broken and Contrite, in case somebody that's listening today is feeling that way today.
Yes. Okay, so chapter 9 is really about repentance. That can sum it up. So if you are convicted, and you God says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us, so we can all go to his throne of grace and receive mercy and help in our time of need. We confess sin, and I've heard it said we confess forgiven sin. It's already forgiven, so we don't have to pretend. We can go ahead and just confess and ask the Lord to purify and cleanse us, and he says in his word that he will. And so that is a summation of what it's about. Obviously, I talk about David and Nathan and a variety of different things, but it really is about being broken before the Lord.
Amen.
And submitting to submitting ourselves to him and repenting and receiving grace. Yeah.
Now, are you on your book tour right now, Trillia?
You know, I'm not doing a book tour, but I do have this Friday, November. November the 8th, I have an event at the Well in Brentwood at 7 p.m., but I'm not doing a book tour. I am having an event that's free and open to anyone.
Okay. What's the Well?
The Well Coffee House in Brentwood.
Okay.
Yep. And so it is a coffee house, and we're having an event, and it's going to be a really good time.
Now, where's it located?
It's located in Brentwood. I don't have the address right in front of me, so I can. But if anyone looked up the Well Coffee House, Brentwood, it is just right off of the interstate, off of 65. Yep, and. Yeah, it's East Old Hickory. It's 690 East Old Hickory Boulevard.
Old Hickory Boulevard, okay. I just thought you knew off the top of your head where you were going.
I don't know where I'm going. This is the thing about Google and Google Maps, and you just plug it in and hopefully get there.
Right.
But yes, the Well Coffee House.
Okay.
This Friday, November the 8th.
Well, so people can come meet you and hear about your book and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Excellent. Now, I know you have a website and you do have other things on there that you've written. And can you share that information, please, with the audience?
Absolutely. If you go to TrilliaNewbell.com, you will find everything, how to follow me on social media, which actually is just Trillia Newbell as well, and also my books.
Spell your name for folks.
Absolutely. It's TrillianeWbell. So TrillianeWbell.com.
Excellent. Trillia, I thank you so very much for your time today. And, of course, this discussion was really rich. And I will be talking more about endurance with you in the future. And thank you for this beautiful work that you did, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was a joy.
All right. Have a good rest of the day, girl.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was today's book, Sacred Endurance. And I'm going to leave you with this one today, guys. And gals, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That was Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Don't y'all get weary now.
All right.
You got to endure till the end.
Till the end.
Amen. Now, that's all we have for you, Nashville. You know I like to spell it. A-L-L. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget, who loves you?
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.